Discovery's four computers now have primary control of critical vehicle functions.
3, 2, 1, 0, 0, 0.
Hello, world, and welcome to the most space traveliest podcast out there, the Gadget Cast. My name is Gregory McFadden, joined always by my co-host Travis MCP.
Space travel.
And we back, baby. We back. We asked, you delivered, we asked for you to write us and send us voicemails, and some of you did. So I'm excited to hear from the people that listen to us.
Yes.
Because I'm tired of listening to each other. I already know what we sound like.
Yeah. It's, you know, you do a show for a year with someone and you're just regretting it. You got to hear this person's voice every Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern time if you're joining us on the live stream. We asked, we pleaded, we said we weren't feeling the love and we wanted some voicemails and you guys delivered. I got to be honest with you. We got four voicemails, Travis. We got a couple of emails here. And I guess I will have to put them off.
Yeah, that's listen, I'm excited about hearing from the fans that are we have people here in the live stream.
Should we do a tease before I play these voicemails about what the show is about? I guess that's what.
What is the show about? My guess is because this is the week. Apparently, well, first of all, Xbox One X is this week. Xbox Series X.
Yeah, Xbox One X, PlayStation 5, iPhone 12 Pro Max, iPhone 12 Mini, HomePod Mini. Who cares about that? I guess now.
Yeah.
Apple event, probably Apple Silicon Max. I don't know. This is too much. I don't want any part of it anymore. I quit. Travis. Yeah.
So then of course now Apple Silicon on the same day as Xbox Series X comes out.
Sorry, Xbox.
Yeah, sorry, Xbox. I mean, well, I'm still going to try to get an Xbox. But I know you've had a couple of videos about it. A lot of people are going to be talking about it. We'll be talking about that today, what that actually means as far as, like, you and I and people that are listening to the show. Is it important? Is it interesting? Should you care? We'll talk about all of that and more. But we want to give you an opportunity to have your voice heard. So let's go ahead and listen to some of these voicemails and audio and video and whatever people sent in. What did people send in?
I don't know. Honestly, I didn't vet these, so let's hope it's all above board. All right, let's go.
All right, here we go.
Hey, guys. Absolutely love the podcast. I've been waiting for a podcast like this forever. Question. I'm in the market for the new iPhone, but I've heard Greg talk about the battery life experience, which isn't that great, it seems. I've also seen some tech reviewers on YouTube and online reviews saying that, yeah, the battery life ain't great. Would you, instead of getting the regular 12, go for the 11 Pro just for the battery? Or would you instead go for the 12? Here in Sweden, the 11 Pro is a bit more expensive, but I'm kind of debating whether or not it's worth it. Thanks again for the podcast.
Ooh, very interesting question. That's
really, really well thought out too. This is not what's your favorite color, Greg? This is an actual one you have to think about because, and I've actually had people ask me this.
Should you get
one of the 12s or one of the 11s?
Because he said in Sweden, he said the 11 Pro is more expensive. So that is the hardest question I think I've ever had to answer.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Because if you really do care about battery life, the new phones, they're okay. I wouldn't say they're bad. They get me through a whole day, and I consider myself a power user, but they don't. Last year, the iPhone battery life was so good, like on almost every model, especially the Max model. But even on the regular Pro, even though I didn't use it, I heard from other people that the battery was really good. So I end my day on the 12 and the 12 Pro. They have about the same battery life. I get about 10% remaining. Now, what you might want to do, and where a lot of this battery hit is actually coming from, this might be an unorthodox suggestion for you, considering you might want to go with the 11 Pro. One of the reasons why the battery is really getting hit so hard is because of 5G. Now, because you said the 11 Pro is more expensive, I was thinking, you know, usually the older phone, you find that and it's cheaper. So obviously I'd be like, oh, we'll just go with the cheaper one if you care about battery life. But I think my recommendation to you is if you really want this size phone, well, I probably have two recommendations. If you can go with a bigger sized phone and that doesn't bother you, maybe go for the Pro Max. Because I think even though the reviews aren't out yet, I'm guessing that's going to probably have the standard of battery life that a lot of us want. But if you're deciding between an 11 Pro and a 12, and the 11 Pro is more expensive, I would recommend getting the 12, going into the settings, and just sticking to 4G. Just turn off 5G completely. It really isn't that useful. And I think you'll probably see similar battery life on it based on a lot of the things I've seen floating around and with my own testing.
All right. So a couple things. Number one, we just got another voicemail. Number two.
Let me download that.
I know, right? Number two, this really brings up an interesting point. One of the things that makes the iPhone 12 kind of better than the iPhone 11 series is 5G. And one of the reasons that we heard that the 120Hz screen did not come out was, among other reasons, battery life. Now, here's an interesting thing. Knowing that now, first of all, if you had put 120Hz on top of that, you probably would have nothing for a battery life on a phone with 5G and 120Hz, at least on the iPhone. It really makes you wonder, did they choose the wrong thing this year? Should they have waited another year for 5G? Now, most people might say, no, they shouldn't, because there's a lot of 5G Android phones out there. But you also have to remember that by and large, Apple's competitors aren't necessarily Android manufacturers, because a lot of people that are on Apple devices are just on Apple devices. They don't really care. If they were that worried about it, you would see a lot more people switching over from iOS to Android, which, I mean, some people obviously will. But the reality is they didn't need to rush this out. I don't know if rush is the right word. They didn't need to push it out this year. And if it's such a battery hog, then maybe 120Hz might have been the better deal. What do you think, Greg?
Yeah, I do agree with that. I think either way, though, they probably would have had similar hits on the battery, because, like I said in the last show, I really wish Apple would just, you know, for how small these batteries are, you have to give credit to Apple's optimization for how much battery life they can eke out. But when you're looking at Android phones, they're coming with much bigger batteries by like 1,000 milliamps in this size class. I would have just loved to see Apple throw in a big battery in there and turn on the 5G, put on the 120Hz, do what you have to do. But I think the big issue is Apple really wanted that variable refresh rate when they brought over this 120Hz. And I think that's where they're going to see that battery savings. But yeah, the 5G thing too, and you have to understand these are companies, right? They want to make money. And as cool as 120Hz is, and I think a lot of the tech literate people get that, you have to understand that the average consumer, we talked about this on the last show, they remember the 3G upgrade, the 4G upgrade, and they remember how much faster that made their phones. And that really drove a super cycle in phone upgrades. And I think Apple was doing this balancing act. They know 5G isn't all that great, but it is a feature that they can sell to people. Is that right? Because, it really isn't ready. But I think if people are in the market today, there might be some hesitation to buy a phone that isn't 5G. Even if they don't need it today, they might, people are keeping their phones longer and longer. They might just want that technology. So I think Apple chose what they could market better. And I think that's why they chose 5G over 120Hz. If you're asking, the tech literate person, based on all of our testing with 5G, I think most of us would have said they should have gone with 120Hz, but they have to consider their sales.
Yeah. And I know Tech Rant, who's he also has a YouTube channel, has been doing some kind of real life battery usage on the iPhone 12. While he is a tech user, he also a tech YouTuber. He also has been just taking it out and then doing some. He even like recorded one of his videos on his channel, I think, has like him just using it in the course of a day. And he, his end result was just turn off 5G because it eats up so much of his battery. Jeff in our chat also says the same thing. And, even my test, when I was testing 5G versus 4G LTE, there's just not that much of a difference. And to be honest, like, the things that 5G are really great for aren't things like uploading your Snapchats any faster. Like, it's not that at all. So we'll have to see what ends up happening with this in the future. And like I've said before, the first generation of any kind of technology like this is always a battery drainer. when 4G WiMAX came out, you never wanted to turn on WiMAX because it was going to eat your battery to death. So this is nothing new for phones. It's just that it's interesting that the Android side of it doesn't seem to be having as much of a problem this year as Apple. However, to your point, Apple doesn't put in super large batteries either.
Yeah, and you know, the 5G auto, like the switching that they do, it works out pretty good. Again, I'm ending my day. It gets me through a full day. I notice it's a little bit worse than the 11, but if it's still getting me through a day, it's not like, oh my God, this is the worst thing in the world. If you spend every single waking moment on your phone, it's going to be a bad experience. There are people like that. They're on their phone 24/7. You can't get them to turn their screen off. I really think people should go with the Max model for that. But yeah, I think it's good. But if you want to get the same battery life that you would out of an 11 and also get all the new features, just go ahead and toggle 5G off. Here's how you know that 5G is a battery hog. Apple usually doesn't let you change the settings. They usually don't let you go in there and go, hey, yeah, let me fiddle with this. They knew that they had to not only put a 5G auto setting, which is what it ships with. That means it'll only switch to 5G when it has to. They also put in a setting where you could just turn it off completely. And that is very on Apple-like. So you know it's a battery hog.
Yeah, for sure. We also got another voicemail. So it looks like people are kicking in voicemails and stuff, which
is great.
I hope
we answered your question. And
yes,
thank you for the incredibly kind words. Never a show like this. I think we missed that part. Never a show like this in the history of humanity. Sorry, Joe Rogan. You know, best podcast.
We should go back and forth between voicemails and emails now that we have a little bit of both.
Okay.
What's the first email we have?
Well, you know, you threw me for a loop there. But
if you want to be on the podcast like ours.
Eek 4x4. Hi, I love your podcast because you are not so big that you really don't care about the individual. And it's always nice to listen to you in the afternoon. And it helps me keep up in the tech world. Oh, regards, Ethan. So this is from Ethan. Okay, the email. Okay, Ethan. Did you get that?
Was that the email?
Yes. Hi, I love your podcast because you are not so big that you don't really care about the individual. And it's always nice to listen to you in the afternoon and helps me keep up with the tech world. I think he's saying he likes us because we're not so big so we can connect to the individual.
Well, okay, first of all, I disagree.
But I want to let Ethan know we are the biggest deal in the podcasting world. So
we really don't care about any of you if the real truth has come out here. No, I'm kidding.
I can't.
I'm joking. Even if we were like the largest podcast, to me, one of the things that makes GadgetCast so fun, and Greg and I talk about this all the time, are the people that show up and show out. Really, this thing would be nothing. And by the way, pat myself on the back because this has become so much more fun since we've live streamed the actual recordings than when Greg and I used to just talk back and forth, which was fine. But I think it gets a new kind of level of interesting interactions here. And we thank you for listening because, to be perfectly honest, I always say this about anything on YouTube or anything when we're creating content for you. The reality is this: you're exchanging time, which you will never get back, to listen to us. And it's hard to not appreciate that. So we definitely thank you for that email. And just even taking the time to email that was really, really amazing. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yes. Now let's go to our second voicemail.
What do I have to do to basically get a call from Greg and Travis? I will do anything. I will do anything. Please call me. Please, I'm up for a call. Please, please surprise me with a call. Please, I'll do anything. I'll do anything. I support anything that has to do with the GadgetCast. Please, Travis. Please, Greg. Come on. Let me participate. Call me. Call me. Call me. Please. I'll be one of the happiest. I think I'm like Greg, and I mean, I think I'm GadgetCast number one fan. I said it. Yeah, I said it. Jay Mugga TV.
That's Jay Mugga. He's always been super, super. What he's actually talking about is something that happened on the last episode, which we are going to do. I don't know exactly when we're going to do it, but we are going to do it. Well, we're going to call people. I think in the holiday season or something, aren't we? Is that when we're doing it?
I floated the idea out there that we might call some people in the holiday season. You know, times are tough. People are kind of separated. So why not bring them some cheer if they wanted it? I wanted to see if people were interested in the idea. Jay Mugga, apparently we'd make his whole life. He could go, you know, that could be his last day on Earth. And I think he's a happy man. Jay yeah. Mugga, if you want that call, you know, I got a bank account, you know, maybe some zeros, maybe a couple of zeros, and we can make that call happen.
No, yeah. No, we'll do it for sure.
We'll do it for sure, and we'll get Jay Mugga for sure.
Yeah, of course. That's gonna be fun.
No, we appreciate it. Thank you for the voicemail. We're gonna try and make that happen in the holiday season. So yeah. Stay tuned. We'll have some more information at a later date.
All right. What's the next email?
Next email. Okay. This one is from Steven. Hey, Greg and Travis, I really enjoy the show and also your YouTube channels for tech reviews. Thank you for making it fun and informative. Have a fantastic week. Thank you, Steven. I appreciate that.
I like that. I like that. Yeah, I like emails and voicemails. These are fun.
There's a couple emojis in there, little praying hands, little
love it.
Hands in the air too, you know.
Very nice. Very nice.
Also left his phone number if we wanted to call him.
All right. We'll keep him on the list. We'll call him. We'll call him in the future.
Steven. Yeah. I think I saw him in the chat earlier. He says, please don't say my phone number out loud. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that.
Oh, there's Sonny Dix. We haven't seen Sonny in a long time. Hey, Sonny, good to see you, man.
Ah, Sonny. Sonny, you know, if you got any Apple Silicon Mac information you want to drop in my DMs, you know, I'm not going to stop you. All right. Ready for the third one?
Let's go.
Hey, Greg and Travis. What got you guys interested in technology? Is there a specific thing about technology that you just really enjoy? Thank you, and keep up the great work.
That's right. Why are we everyone's so positive? I like this. It's giving me an ego. What's happening here?
Why are you interested in technology, Travis?
I always have been.
Let's hear it.
As far as like why I took it to the point of doing a YouTube channel, I don't know if that's the question or not, but technology itself has always been interesting to me just because of the things it allows you to do. I mean, think about it like this. Once upon a time, I know when I was growing up, it was a very expensive thing, if not almost impossible, to have a conversation with someone across the world. And you certainly couldn't do a video call with them. Now it's so common. It's like there are no borders. So technology just always amazes me in different ways. And it's not just mobile technology. It's really any kind of technology. And I've always enjoyed it. I always probably will. So doing a channel for it just made sense.
Yeah. Same. No. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think, was there ever a time I wasn't interested in technology? I feel like I've just always been interested in it, especially growing up as a kid. I guess the first thing that I always wanted the latest of was every like video game system out there. And I just always had to have like, you know, Game Boy Color, PlayStation, N64. So that's where I got started with technology for sure. And then even like my first computer was like the original iMac. And I thought that was like the coolest thing ever. I remember sitting down with my parents, unboxing that thing, connecting it to the internet for the first time. We connected it to our, you know, phone line. You had to do dial up. Think about that. And getting on the internet. And then I remember very vividly, we got the iMac, we went on the internet, and we, you know, like those spam things where it's like, you won like $10,000. So if it's your first time on the internet, you go, I won. Yeah.
I did happen. It.
Yeah. So I was very excited. But yeah, video games, all that stuff. And then, yeah, I the reason why I made the channel was because I saw people talking about technology. Sometimes I disagreed with them. And I'm like, I want to get in there. I want to start talking about technology. I want to give my opinions on this. And YouTube, what a great platform to do it on. I think one of the best platforms ever invented to share your opinion and also be creative with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know. I think we're going to be around for a minute. We enjoy it. So thank you for that email.
Yeah, no plans on quitting anytime soon.
Yeah. So what's next? Is it a voicemail, email? I lost track.
We got from Jose. Jose, I think he also left a voicemail too, so he's going to get a double feature.
Double whammy.
He says, hello again, Greg and Travis. Travis for 2020, president, and Greg vice president.
Hey now.
2043, Greg for president, and Luke for okay. Okay. You know, Jose redeemed himself in the end. He says Luke for vice president in 2043. I think I can get behind that. So we'll run Travis. Well, 2020 is over. Sorry, Travis. I think you lost. But you know, 2043, the Greg and Luke Miani ticket, it's coming your way. You know, free Apple Silicon Mac for every household.
There you go. You could win that.
I think so.
I think you win based on that. That's actually a really good. Yeah, that's pretty good.
We're socialized computers, baby.
Okay, what's next?
I think that's the end of the emails. So we have two more voicemails, but let me.
All right.
I'll play the voicemail while I check.
Hey, Travis and Greg, how are you guys doing? Just want to say first off, thanks for almost a year now that I've been watching the GadgetCast on YouTube and just been enjoying the live stream, and yeah, it's been a lot of fun. So I had a question about now gaming. Obviously, now the PS5 and the new Xbox are coming out in the next couple days or couple of weeks, and I thought maybe you guys could talk about that a bit more, and also what are your thoughts on if there could possibly be better gaming on mobile devices. I know Apple now has Apple Arcade, but could you maybe see in the future like Rockstar would make their own version of GTA specifically for iPhone or iPad? Same with Nintendo, they make a Pokemon game specifically designed for iPhone and iPad. And yeah, I just would like to hear your thoughts about on that.
Cool. That's a good little segue. We can talk a little bit about video games.
He's in the chat. Says it was nearly midnight and he sounded tired, but I thought he sounded good.
Well, listen, it was a great question. So if you think about it, a couple things. So let me answer the last thing first. Yes, but not necessarily because they will have to be made directly for the phones. I believe cloud gaming bridges that gap. We're getting very close to where, and you could argue we're there now, where cloud gaming is pretty relevant and certainly doable. I've been cloud gaming a couple times on my Android phone, and it's been pretty darn good. There's a little bit of latency, but it's good enough. And obviously you have the graphical power of whatever system that it's on. So yeah, I mean, I don't know that it has to be even done for mobile. I mean, maybe they will, but I think they don't have to. I think cloud gaming would be the way to bridge that gap. Having said that, as I'm sure we'll talk about later, processors like the A14 are so ridiculously powerful anyway that you really could get some incredibly good-looking games on mobile processors.
Yeah. I've had a mixed bag with cloud gaming. I'm not like the biggest fan of it. I just feel like the latency is just a little bit too much for me, where it throws me out of the experience. And there's some times where it actually does connect really well, but then that could be for like 5 minutes and then all of a sudden it's stuttering and it's taking a while to catch up. And, you know, mobile connections like that through Wi-Fi and especially on cellular, it's a hard problem to solve. I think that's one of the promises of 5G, strangely enough, going back to that topic, is that it's going to solve this issue of latency, but we're really still a far way from there. And I don't know how long it'll take. It sounds like it's something that will be inevitable at one point, because how could the technology not get us to that point? And then, developers would love that, by the way. If they could just develop for a server and then have that push to any platform there and get game sales or through a subscription service, they would love that, because it would make their job a lot easier than making a separate version for iPhone, a separate version for PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo. So I think that is the future. I just feel like I don't think we're as close as we might think we are yet. Because especially for a mobile game, if you're on the bus and you're playing your game, it's got to be stable on cloud gaming. You might be able to do it at home with your fast internet, but 5G right now and all the dropouts and everything, it's just not a thing. That being said, Travis is right. A14 processor, maybe these Apple Silicon Macs that we're going to talk about in a second. I wonder if Apple has a better strategy for gaming. They usually don't, but they have their Apple Arcade service, so maybe they'll surprise us. But these chips are insanely powerful. What they can do with them, listen, these are more powerful than one of the most popular consoles out there right now, the Nintendo Switch. So these phones have the raw horsepower to do, like you're saying, like a specific GTA game made for mobile. And if you look at the mobile industry versus the console industry, there's a lot more money to be made in mobile gaming. Maybe it's not the way that you want it to be done, because it's usually through buying cosmetic items or play to win kind of stuff. But the money is there. And I think more and more people want to be on that platform. Again, like you said, Nintendo is on that platform. They're making games for iPhone and stuff like that. So they see the potential there. I think that's only going to get bigger as we go forward. Everyone has a phone in their pocket. That's such a huge market that everyone wants to hit. Maybe the traditional game makers a few years ago couldn't hit those targets, but these phones are super powerful. They can obviously hit them today. I think he asked us about PlayStation 5 too.
Yeah, so he was asking about the two systems. So for me, if I'm able to get a hold of an Xbox Series X, I'll probably grab one of those. The thing is, I like gaming and stuff. I just haven't had a lot of time for it. I'm trying to make more time for it, trying to do more on my Twitch if I can. So I would like to grab one. And that's kind of where I want to be. I've always had both consoles. I don't expect that to be the case this time, because it got to the point in the last couple of years that I wasn't gaming enough to even hold on to my PS4. So I sold it a couple of years back. So I've only had the Xbox One X for a while now. And even then, I don't get a chance to play too much. So if I'm going to get one, which, you know, if I can get a hold of one, I'll get one. It would be the Xbox console. I know that Greg has a slightly different take. So the good news is you'll have both of us from both. Well, I guess you're probably getting both, because you buy a lot of things.
Yeah. So I think my preference is leaning towards the PlayStation 5, especially for the exclusive titles and just my, you know, throughout playing games for a long time, I've mostly preferred the exclusive that PlayStation has, and that definitely puts me over the edge. But I'm willing to keep an open mind with Xbox. I think some of the things they're doing with Game Pass, maybe that's something that's going to be really good. Xbox is obviously the underdog coming into this. When you're the underdog, you are a lot more friendly to the consumer. You're trying to win people over. It's something that Sony actually made the mistake of with the PlayStation 3. They were very consumer unfriendly, and Xbox kind of came in and the 360 really dominated. Once the 360 dominated, they made the same mistake. They thought they were on top. They could do whatever they wanted to you. And that turned out not to be the case. But I do have a Series X ordered. I have the Series S ordered as well. And I have, yeah, I got
Greg,
it.
Yep. Greg. Listen, here's the thing. I understand when you have to buy four different iPhones for your channel. I get it. I totally get it. This doesn't make any sense, Greg. As a matter of fact, I demand you give me your pre-order for the Xbox Series X, because I'm going to play it and you're not. Why you would get an S as well is just a big flex, and it's terrible. And I demand you release that to some person who actually wants to be a Microsoft Xbox Series S owner.
So me and my fiance are both gamers, and we need two systems to play online together. So I need two PlayStation 5s. I need two Xboxes.
That's Excuse me, I'm but sorry. Aren't there two controllers on a system? Can't you go back?
You know there's not like a split screen gaming thing anymore. It's all online. Like, you need two host systems. I wish that was the case. I wish I could just buy one. I don't want to buy both of these.
So systems. You're going to be in one room and your fiance is going to be in the other room and you're going to be playing games together. What games are you guys playing together?
We're going to be playing in the same room with two different screens. So thank you,
bro. What are you talking about? What kind of shenanigans?
What am I talking about?
None of this makes sense.
It makes perfect sense.
If she was a streamer and you were a streamer, this makes sense. Your channel is not. I know you do have a gaming channel that you're trying to. You're thinking about.
Well, listen. I was going to get into that too.
Okay.
So I got both of them ordered. We'll see. Maybe. We'll see. I got both of them ordered. I'm looking forward to PlayStation 5. I actually got. I got the controller already for the PlayStation 5. It feels really nice. And speaking of streaming and stuff like that, I'm getting ready to go full steam ahead on gaming content. I've been in like stasis waiting for these new consoles to come out before I do anything, because I just want to cover this next generation. So come this week, I don't know how I'm going to survive it, but there's going to be a new channel. I'm going to be doing Twitch stuff. So make sure you're following me on all that stuff in the description. But yeah, no, I'm really getting into it. But like Travis, I do have to say, the reason why I don't really play games a lot is because I'm always like super busy. And I have this really bad mentality where I'm getting into that point where if I'm not like working, I feel like bad. Like it's like, oh, I shouldn't be playing a game. I should be working on my channel. So I really want to do gaming content so I could be like, I'm working, because that's how it is with technology for me now. And it's great. I'm not snobbish. I'm not rich, guys. These are $500 systems. I spent more. Listen, this stupid iPhone 12 Pro costs more than both systems. Okay.
Yeah, that's so true. That's true.
Listen, that's true. Listen. Point. That fold two costs more, and I think I'm gonna sell that because
I sold mine. I sold mine.
You sold yours for a low price, though. Is that what you get for those? Like I felt like I don't that know. Was low.
Well, here's I originally wanted to get $1,500 for it, but I sold it for a lot less than that because I just wanted to sell it. And every time I kept throwing out like, oh, I'm thinking of selling, and they're like, how much? $1,500? Like it was crickets. So I'm like, well, I don't really want to sell to just random people on the internet, right? Because I don't want to do that. So I put out a number that people could not resist, and they couldn't resist it. So it's gone.
Ace has a, you know, great, he says, you're going to customize your PS5 like Dave2D did. No, I am awful with customization. I'm bad with my hands. You know, these are soft hands. They don't work. You know, that's why I make tech videos. So
oy
vey. No customization for me.
What do we have any more voicemails or anything? Or are we going into the other stuff?
No, we have one more voicemail.
Yeah, nice.
Okay.
Which day is the best day to cancel Travis? Would it be Christmas or some other holiday, Greg?
Oh, this is a very lopsided question. What is the best day to cancel Travis? Do we cancel Travis on Christmas, New Year's, Hanukkah, Thanksgiving, Halloween? You know, I think the cause of canceling Travis is so great, we might have to make it into its own holiday. So I'm gonna have to think about that. I'm gonna have to think about a date, and we're gonna have to make cancel Travis a holiday.
I mean,
what's the worst day of the year? Like, what's the worst?
That's a good question. Like most Mondays, really.
Yeah, I feel like it has to be like a Monday as like. But like, what's like the worst Monday? Do some research on this.
I don't know yet.
The Monday after Christmas?
Well, I guess it depends on what day of the week Christmas is, because my birthday is right after that. So if Christmas is on a Sunday, then Monday is my birthday. So it's not going to happen. All right. Anyway, that was a terrible voicemail. Let's not ever take messages from that person.
We also have one more email, last minute email from Jose. And that's it. We're cutting it off. What do you want in a dream iPhone, Greg? Travis, what are your thoughts on the rumored 2021 iPad Pro? Thank you for the great content that you both provide, not only in GadgetCast, but also in your own channels as well. So.
Well, if I'm first, the question was,
rumored 2021 iPad Pro.
iPad Pro. So, which I assume is just what? The A14X, right?
The display too. It's supposed to be mini LED.
Yeah, but I don't really know what that means. I need to see it in person to see what that would look like on a tablet. It's not to say that I haven't seen mini LED before, but what it looks like on a tablet in your hands, like I need to see that. I would prefer to have OLED. Having said that, the A14X would be enough for me to probably upgrade again my iPad Pro, which is kind of silly because I feel like now again I did get the bigger iPad Pro this time, so. That's the one part that doesn't make me feel too bad about upgrading. But overall, it was not much of an upgrade at all. It was more of a lateral thing as far as I'm concerned, the iPad Pros this year. So next year would be great. The 14X, I can only imagine what that'll be like. The 14 itself is pretty remarkable. 14X should be ridiculous. And for me, to be able to render out stuff even faster, then I would be all about that life. I don't care about the 5G portion. I don't need that, but would certainly be interested in that. And I'll probably end up getting it if it comes out in the 12.9 and it does, you know, I might actually wait to see some reviews because this year I had thrown out a hypothesis that the A14 might be as good or better than the 12X for like rendering. And it's pretty darn close. Like I saw finally a couple people, Rene Ritchie put in his video a little bit about that. And it turned out that they are very, very close. So I think with the X or whatever it's going to be, I'm pretty excited about that. I'd be pretty happy with that.
We're going to talk about those scores in just a second because Well, Ann W just spam boring in the chat, so I'm sorry, guys. Apparently, we're too boring for Ann W. Thanks,
yeah,
Ann.
Yeah, that's too bad. Wah, wah.
How about you do the show, Ann? You wanna get on here and do the show? Apparently, you're the most entertaining person in the world. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see it.
I know. As soon as you started trying to talk smack, your internet went to trash. Fake rumors suggesting 15X will render out before you import the video. That's right, Renee. You get it.
I want to see the Ann W show.
I don't think anyone wants to see that.
I want to see the Ann W show. And then for my dream iPhone, I don't know. It's tough. Like, I think, like I said before, I want Apple to put in bigger batteries into the phone. Like dream features. It's so hard to say like what features you want, because I feel like the phones, it's hard for me to decide that because like the technologies aren't there at points. But like, I want like the biggest battery possible, like multiple days. Give me like real wireless charging. It charges through the airwaves somehow. Apparently that like technology exists. Like, I'd love to see that. Yeah, stuff like that. I'd like to see like a folding iPhone one day. I want to see that concept like fold out into an iPad. I think Apple could execute that really well if they really put their engineering behind it. So yeah, I'd love to see like really cool stuff like that, like big picture stuff. Other than that though, the phones, they are really refined at this point. It's kind of hard to kind of think of like what features you want. So that's why I always like, I kind of got to wait to see what they show me, but yeah.
I do real quick before we get into the next section where we talk about my little announcement, of course, Apple Silicon. Want to make a little comment about this Apple thing. So last night I went and picked up, as an excuse, the iPhone 12 Pro Max Silicon case from the Apple store because I realized I could go get that. The reason that I did that as a store pickup is because I actually wanted to go into the store and check out some of the devices that I haven't seen yet, including the iPad Air, which I haven't seen in person yet, and a couple other things. I wanted to try that band out. I really wanted to try the band out on the new Apple Watches. Well, it turns out, at least at my store, when you go to schedule your pickup, that does not include being able to go into the store. They just bring it out to you, which was really upsetting. And I came to find out later that there's a separate sign-up thing altogether if you want to just go in and look around. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. So someone who literally is not necessarily buying anything gets to rummage around for however long they want to, yet me, who am paying way too much money for a silicon case, let's be honest, way too much for that thing, silicone, whatever the hell. And I don't get to do nothing but stand there looking like a dummy as they hand me the ridiculously expensive case. Okay, not happy about that, Apple. I should get a customary. Plus, let me say something else. You should have realized it was me and let me in. I think that's enough. I mean, if you see me, you go, listen, that's Travis. Let him in. Let him do whatever he wants to do. He can put his hands on everything. I mean, that's it, right? I think that's how it should work.
Full agreement. I think, yeah. You know, you should have been like, do you know who I am?
I almost did.
Do you know who I am?
I should have.
They would have been like, oh, yes, sir. We'll let you in. I got this wallet that's really overpriced. Oh. I'm not going to lie, but it's cool.
So I talked to a guy who ended up returning it because he said every time he pulled the phone out of his pocket, it slid off.
Not for me, honestly. Like, I saw that too, and I saw like videos like, oh, it slides out. It stays on for me. I don't know. I got bigger pockets though, so maybe if you have like tight pockets, it'll slide out. Works for me. I think it's cool. It is overpriced though. Not gonna lie, it's cool. You're muted.
Yay. Okay. So look, we have your finger sandwich.
Tell them about your news. Tell them about your news. We're running.
Yeah, that's it. Long. Yeah, we need. Yeah, we need to do it. Yeah. So, speaking of that sort of stuff, the person actually I was talking to who told me about that very story was the producer of a show that I have been, they opened up a new account. Good job, James. Like, by the way, I love people who like come in and try to like we're YouTubers, man. We see this stuff all the time. It's not gonna rock us,
to be honest. You're just making me love it. Like,
he loves that stuff. I'm kind of like, whatever. Anyway. So, it turns out, here's the thing. This is why I tell Greg the other day. You never know who's watching. So, and I haven't actually told this story anywhere else. I just tweeted something very vague about it, but this is an exclusive for GadgetCast. So there is a show nationwide called The List. And what it is kind of a lifestyle type show. And they have, like, every so often they do like a tech corner type thing, right? It's all over the world. It's all over the country, United States. For those of you listening overseas, you can see the website, but you can't see the channels. But it's syndicated across like 50 different channels all across the country. And they have a tech portion of the show that I've been invited to be kind of a semi-regular contributor to. So I'll be filming the first thing of that tomorrow, Monday, that'll go. Ooh. What he was telling me it will be live at the end of the month. And then we're just going to do more. We talked about other subjects. 5G was one of them. The subject I'll be doing tomorrow is about tablets. You know, different tablets and stuff that are good to purchase because I'm a big tablet guy. And I'm kind of excited for it. So it's not that I haven't been on TV before. I have a couple times, but I have. It's the truth. But this is kind of cool because I feel like it's a more repeating thing, and it's kind of this me for tech. The guy was telling me he had actually been watching my channel for months, which is kind of cool. You just never know who's watching. So I'm kind of excited about that. It's an opportunity. So once that comes out, we'll put a link in like the show notes and the description, everything, like where you can go. I'll actually put a link in the YouTube chat as to where you can find your local listings of that show. But other than that, thanks everybody for the support. Greatly appreciate all the nice messages I got on Twitter and stuff. So appreciate all of that. Greg, on the other hand, will be seen on YouTube from this point forward. Oh. And Twitter on occasion. And GadgetCast for a little bit longer anyway.
Well, congratulations for the show. That's really cool. I'm proud of you, man.
Oh, don't worry. We're going to be plugging GadgetCast on. I'll be doing them slick GadgetCast shout outs.
Nice. Well, you know, I'm going to get my TV debut one day, you know.
It's hopefully it won't be Cops.
Well, I'll do whatever is necessary.
Chris Hansen telling you to sit down or something. You don't want all that.
Okay. Well, let's not go that far.
All right. Let's get into the Apple Silicon, man. You know much more about this than I do. So please give people some information so I can rail on it.
Listen, you're talking about this A14X, and, you know, it's very confusing. I really want to see what Apple's going to do on Tuesday, what their strategy is. Are they going to call this an A14X inside of a Mac? Before I get on that, these upgrades don't sound too exciting from a hardware upgrade, you know, like, oh my God, new design, like iPad Pro. These are apparently going to look exactly the same. I'm getting made fun of in this chat, man. This cannot happen. These are going to look exactly the same as your MacBook Air, your 13-inch MacBook Pro, maybe a 16-inch MacBook Pro, but don't expect any outwardly design changes is what I'm hearing. Guys, I'm trying to do a show here.
This is why you have to be at the YouTube channel. You have to be watching the YouTube live stream. I'm sorry, audio podcast listeners. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Don't expect, oh, look at this cool new futuristic thing. The real changes for these is just going to be internal, which is going to be this Apple Silicon, these chips that, you know, Apple's been kind of using in their iPhones and their iPads. And, you know, Travis uses an iPad full time for his video editing. He can tell you just how fast and custom, how efficient these chips are inside of what Apple's able to do with Apple Silicon, especially on like an iPad Pro when they have their X variants. Now, this A14X, there's some benchmark leaks. Who knows if they're true? We're going to find out very soon on Tuesday what we're getting here. But these things look really fast. Now, these are just benchmarks. You should never judge performance based on benchmarks. I say that all the time. But they do give us a good indication of just some baseline performance we can compare it to. And from what I'm seeing with these benchmarks, Travis, this A14X or whatever they're putting in Apple Silicon, this thing is faster than a 16-inch MacBook Pro, faster than the top of the line MacBook they have out now. And we know that Apple is, I'm guessing, probably going to stick very similar chips into these like 13-inch laptops. So
I just love that the chat is going wild on it.
I gotta sorry not pay attention to the chat.
Audio podcast listeners, please don't hate us. Finish up, Greg. I'm sorry. I won't highlight any more comments.
My manhood's been called into question. you know, I think my voice is rich and, you know, pretty good sounding. I don't even know what to say anymore. But yeah, the Apple Silicon Max is going to be our first Max with Apple Silicon, their own custom chips. Better battery life, I'm guessing. Better thermals, which is much needed. And frankly, faster performance. I'm curious to see if they could release an Apple Silicon Mac that will get Travis's attention. I would love to see Travis buy one of these if it's the right price.
Mm.
Because... you know, this is like a whole new era for them, whatever, however it shapes up, them using their own chips in it. It's a big deal because yeah. when you go to buy a PC nowadays, you know, Intel used to run the show. You go get a laptop. If you don't have Intel inside of it, you're getting nothing. But AMD has done really well, especially on desktop processors. They're even fighting back in laptop processors now. And now here comes Apple. They're going to have their own unique advantage in this PC market. And I think that's such a big deal. So I want to see if there's anything on the Tuesday announcement. You're not really a Mac guy. You flirted with the idea of maybe buying like a Mac before. If they can get the cost down because they're using their own chips now, and if it's the same design, I feel like they can get that cost down, especially maybe on like the Air. If they release like an $800 MacBook Air Apple Silicon as, you know, faster than your iPad Pro, would that be enough to get your interest?
I would definitely be looking at it. Here's the thing. It is a really interesting time in which we're in, that if this goes off the way we think it will, this is a turning point for Apple, much the same way it was for Apple when the iPhone came out. And then the iPad, which seemed almost too good to be true, but then not so good when it very first came out because it wasn't that much different than an iPhone, and then it became its own thing. Here's the thing. First of all, that would be incredible because the one thing of Apple that I don't really have that's part of their normal line is an actual Mac of any sort. No laptop, no desktop, nothing. So if they're able to get something down at a good price with good performance, that'd be interesting to me. Stepping back from that and looking at what it means for them as a company, this could be a big deal. Now, it could be super big if they did something that they won't do, which is directly try to compete with AMD and Intel by making their processors available to all computers. That would be amazing. That's not what's going to happen. I think what will happen instead is they'll just be able to wean off other processors for their own computers, which will make them, of course, more powerful because now they can, they have everything from the hardware to the software. They're making it all one thing. That's amazing, incredible, awesome. Having said that, it's a bit of a risk. They have been making these processors for a while, but they haven't been making them for desktop applications. They've only been making them for mobile. So while this should work theoretically on paper, and I'm sure they've done a tremendous amount of testing, because to step away from AMD or Intel is a big deal. And they have done this before with, you know, their PowerPC processor or whatever it was a long time ago. I get it. This is a huge deal for them. It weans them off of other companies. And the less that they have to worry about the pricing of another company or negotiating for another company, or maybe the performance isn't as good or the thermals aren't as good, the better it is for their product line. This is a huge deal. And for me, if they can bring the price down, which I don't know that Apple will necessarily do that, but if they would, then for me, I'm already mostly in the Apple ecosystem. It would be interesting to me. And I think for people who have always kind of wanted to take that leap, but just didn't have the money for it, it really can make a huge difference.
Yeah.
Now, here's a question from the chat real quick. Rebecca's asking, do you think the GPU performance be an upgrade, or do you think it'll be incremental? That's a good question.
It'll be, I think, a big upgrade in terms of integrated graphics, like you have with a lot of the Intel chips, and on the lower-end MacBooks, they ship without integrated graphics. Dedicated graphics cards, obviously not. But I do think we'll see some impressive performance graphically out of these machines for what they are. The big question for me is, like, will Apple make their own dedicated graphics cards too? Can they slap an AMD in there? Is that, you know, would that go too far away from their architecture? Those are all the big open questions that I have. It's why I'm so excited for this event. We know what Apple is doing in a sense, but there's so many questions onto what these products actually look like, how they actually perform. Is the software updated from them? Don't forget, apparently every iPhone and iPad app is also going to be able to be run on these Apple Silicon Macs. That is a huge amount of software that is just made available for these machines. Whether or not they work well, that's a big open question too, but it's exciting.
Well, to touch on something Renee Ritchie says in the chat here, he says, if Apple becomes a merchant silicon provider, they wouldn't provide the same benefits. You might get higher performance, which I think you would, and efficiency only if you're targeting narrowly, not broadly. I agree and disagree. Disagreeing with Renee Ritchie might be one of the worst things I've ever done in my life.
I'm not but taking that
far. I'm going to tell you why. I mean, he might be right. Listen, he probably is. But I get what he's saying. For those who are not didn't get to read that and just heard me spitting it out, essentially he's saying it's easier for them to get the performance kind of they're getting out of the processors because they do own everything, like the software, hardware. And that's actually what I was saying before. And I agree with that. That part, I 100% agree. You're probably going to get more out of it because of that. And if you just release it to the world as a processor that's going to do like Windows, for example, you may not see as much benefit. And that is very likely true. But interestingly, I believe, and this might be silly on my part, I believe in the technology that Apple is on because to this point, their mobile processors on a freaking phone are doing things that some desktops aren't able to do. So even if you lost some of the performance, you're still going to be ahead. Like I'm rendering out 4K videos and stuff quicker than most desktops do. Like it's insane. Now, again, you do own that whole process, the software and everything. I just have a feeling that if they wanted to, and again, they won't, they will literally not do this. But if they did, it would be a very interesting AMD, Intel, Apple fight. I would love to see that. I know we're not going to see it, but man, that would be fun.
You'll only see it from a platform where like they're not competing, Windows and Mac. That again, that's another thing I want to see. Like, if the performance is this crazy good and there's efficiency gains in battery life and thermals, all this stuff that you might want, we know that like, the creator market, it's a market where a lot of people have been maybe switching to Windows, a lot of professionals and stuff like that. I wonder if this performance jump, I wonder if it'll create a big switch back to Mac as like, this is the platform you got to get because I can render out this 4K or 8K video in like 4 minutes. And if I'm on Windows, that's not happening. Like, it's going to be so interesting to see how that dynamic works. Maybe I'm giving Apple Silicon too much credit for what I can see. You know, we've only seen these. This is why it's so exciting. We've only seen these chips, like Travis mentioned, in iPhones and iPads. Very constrained devices. Very constrained. But the power they're able to get out of that form factor is so massive, you assume that they could scale that up much higher in machines where they have fans, better thermals, more room to work with, bigger batteries to push those processors even more. And from some of these leaked performance scores we're seeing, I think that's going to be the case. And I'm so excited.
And what do you think about maybe Apple putting a touchscreen on a MacBook of some sort?
I feel like it's inevitable at this point. I wonder if these ones will have it. There's no design change, but maybe Apple goes, hey, they got touchscreens. That's kind of like a big enough design change. Probably not, though, if there's no design change. I feel like, so like I mentioned before, they're bringing over every iPhone and iPad app over to the Mac. You know, I feel like if you have an iPhone app on the Mac, you might want to touch the screen for that because, iPad apps, they actually have the implements in place for trackpad and keyboard support. So maybe those are actually going to work really well. iPhone apps, no, right? Like using a pointer with an iPhone app, I feel like it's just not going to be a great experience at all. If you were able to touch the screen, that kind of, you don't have to have great mouse control in that app. You can punt it to the touchscreen. So I feel like it's going to happen. I feel like the UI changes in macOS Big Sur, their latest operating system, things are more spaced out. Maybe people are looking too into that. But if I'm looking at it, if I'm looking at all the signs pointing to somewhere, I feel like Apple's going to give us the touchscreen Mac. And I feel like they could go, it's going to be funny to see how they introduce a touchscreen Mac if they do. But I feel like they'll go, it wasn't ready then because we didn't have all these, we didn't have Apple Silicon. We didn't have all these great touchscreen apps that you can take advantage of. We just had our desktop class apps. But guess what? Now you can run all your iPhone apps on it. So now's the time for touchscreen. I think that's how they get to that point.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see also what Renee's bringing up is what happens when Apple has the ability to use more power behind their processors as well. Like, do we now see another level, or does is there like a point where it just kind of falls off, where it's like it can only handle so much power? But I don't know. You take the leash off of the dog, so to speak, and it is interesting to see what Apple will be able to do when they own pretty much the vast majority of the important parts of their devices.
Yeah, and I like I just made a video on this. There was like a big rumor dump from Mark Gurman, really good track record, talking about like some of the future plans they have for their Macs. And he's even saying, like, you know, like the Mac Pro is going to get upgraded with Apple Silicon. And when you have a desktop class computer, you know, laptops are still mobile devices. You know, they're bigger and beefier than an iPad, but they're still a mobile device. They're still constrained by their battery. What happens when you take that chip, you plug it into the wall, you don't have to worry about battery life. You don't have to make your processors efficient for that. And you just give it all the power it needs, crank it up as high as you need to go. What does that performance look like? And again, you think about what an iPad can do, and your mind starts to jump real quick. Like, well, if they can do that in an iPad, they must be able to get like five times performance easily. Like,
and by the way, this should excite people who are into Intel and AMD, and even to a lesser degree, maybe Snapdragon phones, because that just lifts the bar. That raises the bar. If Apple comes out and has these laptops that perform above and beyond, say the current Ryzen mobile chip, the AMD is going to have to get to work. And again, it's not that they're worried about someone going from Windows to Mac, but maybe they should be. Like, you know, if you're getting the better performance for more money, is it worth maybe just learning a new operating system? And if you already have an iPhone, then it makes it easier. Like, that's a real danger. Up until this point, laptops from Apple have been pretty decent, but they've been expensive when you wanted the good ones. If they decide to make this less expensive, under $1,000 for a powerful laptop from Apple, man. Woo.
Yeah, and for someone like you especially, like, if every iPad app can run on these Macs, it could make the transition very easy for you. You could just be like, well, I know how to use LumaFusion. I'll get this, and I'm good to go. Maybe I'll learn other programs along the way, but I got what I need.
Yeah. So it is a very good thing for all things tech. Definitely a good thing, no matter who you're a fan of. I just want to say that I believe that whatever happens this week will send ripples down the entire tech community, and I think it'll be for good, because like it or not, when Apple does something, it kind of justifies and really validates a lot of other things. It'll be interesting to see what this does in the PC world, because up until this point, they've been kind of in their own silo. In mobile, when they do something, it moves the industry. On the kind of the laptop computer side, they've kind of in their own silo. They're kind of their own thing. But now, with more of ownership behind everything, what will this mean? And, you know, they call it one more thing, and we'll have to see. Is this that one more thing that's going to really excite?
That sounds, honestly, that's like a big Apple terminology. One more thing, right? It's very fabled in the Apple world. If you're an Apple fan, you know what that means. So it sounds like they're walking into this with tremendous confidence of like trying to blow us away. And if it's the same design, like a lot of these, you know, Gurman said that, I'm pretty sure that's going to be the case. That's usually how they blow you away. They have a new design, like, oh my God, that's crazy. But they're going to try and blow you away with the power of this thing. And yep, maybe the efficient, like I'm saying, like I've heard rumors like maybe 15 hours, 20 hours of battery life in a laptop. That's pretty amazing. Like it's going to be very interesting to see how they play this out. But, you know, as excited as I am, there could be big pitfalls, too. There could be big warning signs for the first adopters of this. It's going to be that legacy software, Adobe, Microsoft. You know, the Mac is an old platform. It's been running on Intel for a long time. They have emulation software. How good is it? Are apps going to be left behind? I use Final Cut Pro 10, but I also use a lot of plugins. I use third-party plugins. Do they have that ready day one for me? Is that going to work well if they convert it Final Cut to work on this natively? Can I still use my third-party plugins? There's a lot of questions about this transition. We're going to have to wait till Tuesday and beyond, frankly, when we get these things in our hands to see if that's answered.
When Greg orders one of everything. Ladies and gentlemen, we had a tremendous amount of fun on this episode of GadgetCast. I would love it if you would send us more voicemails and emails. The Please links do. For those will be in the description for the YouTube channel and, of course, in the show notes for the audio podcast.
Yes. I just noticed too, we did say we were going to talk about the Pro Max 12 mini.
Oh, yeah. But we should briefly touch on
that. They're available for sale. You ordered a Max, right?
I ordered a Max. It'll be here whenever it gets here. It's the blue 128 gig. I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping that the battery life is no less than what I currently have.
Yes. I'm interested to see that, the battery life and that camera. I want to see how good that is. Yeah, I got the Max on the way as well. We'll talk about that next week, I'm sure. Like, we'll have time to use it, and we'll talk about that more next week. I think we know what the gist is of the Pro Max. It's a bigger iPhone. The Mini's a smaller one. It'll be more interesting when we can actually use them and talk about them.
Indeed. And, of course, we love you. Thank you so much for joining us. People that are here in the YouTube live stream can hang tight for the aftercast. But for everyone else listening to the audio podcast, thank you so much. We will make sure to check you out next week. His name is Greg, and I am Travis. This is GadgetCast. We'll see you next time.